might just do one message, honestly, because it was tough. And you might say, why? Well, now you might even say that a little better. But I mean, when you first read through the book of Song of Solomon, you really don't, most of us, including me, don't understand what it's saying. And we start to dig, we start to study, we start to look, and I get a little more comfortable with it. But anyway, I'm excited that we could take this time and go to the book of Song of Solomon. Number four today. Let's look at it. The testing of love. Can you say that with me? The testing of love. Love gets tested. And, you know, our love, my wife and I's love has been tested. We've been married this coming November 23 years. And we met in college. A lot of people ask how we met. I'm from Rockdale, North Carolina. She's born right here in Florida. Went to school in Tennessee. I went to school in Tennessee. We met in college and started seeing each other. And probably now a total of 26 years that we've known each other. And our love's been tested during that time. And we're no different than any of you. And we struggle at times, but God's been good to us. He's been faithful to us, and He's loved us. I've got Jimmy Grubbs. Are you hanging out back there, Jimmy?
Yeah.
All right, Jimmy. Well, Jimmy, you need to find your way up front. I'm going to do something different. I was thinking about this series, and we've been talking about husbands and wives, and, you know, and courtship and dating and all that. But I know there are a lot of you that have lost your mate. You've lost your loved one, and your heart breaks. And I know you sit here and you listen and you're encouraged, and you've been encouragement to me. But I just want you to know, I know it's been tough on you, and it's not easy. And some of you have had marriages that you tried, you really tried. It just didn't work. It didn't make it. And so this has been hard on you, but you've come out anyway, knowing what I'm talking on. Amen? But I want you to know the heartbreak, the tears, the struggle that you've had, it's not been forgotten. And the new group called Poet Voice, it's not a brand new group, they've been out a little while. Matter of fact, they're going to be with us next February. They came out with a new song. And we're going to sing it for you right now. And just let you know God loves you, He cares for you, even when you're struggling. And then we'll get into the message, the testing of love. Give me that little intro one more time.
Tears in a bottle.
Surely he understands the one who puts tears in a bottle, gently holds your hand.
Praise the Lord.
Tell you what, sometimes the marriage is over. Sometimes, you know, bad things certainly do happen, and we make dumb choices even ourselves, and things happen in our life that breaks our heart. Today's message, the testing of love. Love is going to be tested. Did you know that? Say it. So, are you getting it? Yeah, I mean it now. Yeah, I know. All right. So love gets tested. That is the title of our message today. And Roger the Dodge Johnson is down front, and we are ready to roll today with the message, the testing of love. Let's go, Roger. See what we find. Amen? First of all, love is amazing. I'm going to slide in front of you. How do you like them two elephants? See the two elephants there? And their trunks making that part? Is that cool or what? Look at that. Even elephants love each other. All right. So the testing of love, love is amazing. Love is an amazing thing. Marriage is a phenomenal thing. With love between a couple, it is phenomenal. It can be so strong. It can stand all kinds of stuff and pressure. It can be absolutely exhilarating and thrilling. It's an amazing thing. Here's what Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7 says. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, he would utterly be condemned. Love is an amazing thing. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. Verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Love is powerful. Love is strong. Love is amazing. Let's keep moving. Love never fails, but it does this. It sure can get tested. Amen? Love doesn't fail, but brother, it still get tested. And that's what we're talking about. As I was reading through the book of Song of Solomon, that's what I found. Test, test, test. Chapter number 5, and we're fixing to see it. Let's look at a couple of things about Valentine's Day. We just came through Valentine's Day this week. On Valentine's Day, there's more candy sold, card, flowers, etc. than any other day of the year. Valentine's Day. Isn't that sweet, say? Isn't that real nice? Isn't that really good? Guess what else happens on Valentine's Day? It's also the busiest day for private eyes. Busiest day for private eyes. Why? Why? Because a spouse that suspects her husband or wife's cheating knows that there'll probably be contact on Valentine's Day. If you're taking notes, good. Check that one out right now. And that's good for you. Guess what else? The day after Valentine's. Number one day of the year for the filing of divorce. It's what the stats are showing. The 15th. Love gets tested, doesn't it? So. And it's not the sweetest day of the year. Next day right after, busiest day for divorce filing. Crazy. Love's going to get tested. Bury your head and say it ain't going to fly. We need to look at it today and see what we can learn. Let's check it out. What happens when the honeymoon's over? We saw it last week, didn't we? Say it. If you weren't, how many were not here last week? Can I see your hand? Wow, a lot of you. What were you be? How would you be? Anyway. Last week we talked about God and His Word tells us how to have a great honeymoon. And we actually went over that and we went on the honeymoon with Him last week. It was a little rough for the preacher man here, amen? But it was good. I thank you. Somebody asked me today, did I get any negative comments? Not one. I didn't get one negative comment. I got cards, letters, phone calls, emails all week long, several of them encouraging me, saying that was a great message. We appreciate it. We need that, amen? Hey, it's in the Word of God. It's in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? And we need to teach the Word of God. And Song of Solomon's a great book, and I've really now fallen in love with the book. And I don't want to get too personal this week. That was enough personal last week. Amen? But I told my wife, I said, hey, this Song of Solomon book's been good for us, ain't it? She was like, you know, yeah, she's like, well, it's been good for you. You know, anyway, so we've really enjoyed just going through the book together and reading it and, you know, actually laying in bed talking about it. And it's been a lot of fun. Hey, it's been great. Praise the Lord. All right, let's get back to what happens when the honeymoon's over. Honeymoons don't last forever. Something's going to happen. Let's see it. Back to the book of Song of Solomon. Now, if you have your Bible, want to follow along with us, we'll be in chapter 5, verse 2. So we're going to roll it really quick. Here we go. What happens when the honeymoon's over? The testing of love. Love is going to get tested. The book of Song of Solomon is a song. It is a poem. It is very difficult, like so many poems, to understand. And so often when we don't understand something, we just don't read it. We don't like it, and we just put it down. But I believe firmly that this is what is being said in chapter 5. In chapter 6 today, we'll see it. That their love is being tested, and God put it in the Bible for this reason. I personally believe that. Now, you could argue with me if you want to, but it's what I believe. This is how I received it, and it's what the Lord has blessed me with. 5:2. I sleep, but my heart wakes. It's the voice of my beloved that's knocking, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drop of the night. This is the bride talking. They're married now. Honeymoon's over. Back at home. Okay? You can sort of see what's happening. She's talking. He says, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. She's asleep. Let's check out and see what we're going to find. We're going to just jump right into it this morning. Solomon arrives home late, I believe. Okay? Here we are. Y'all with me, all right? Y'all okay? I know this is weird to go from this to that. But here we are. We're there. He arrives home late. Okay? Here's what happens. He does have a demanding schedule. Amen? He does have a kingdom to run. You know what I mean? Hey, ladies, sometimes, listen to me. Yeah, sometimes you work late. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says you work 6 days. It never says five. It never says four. It never says you spend all this time with your family. I'm all for family time, but not at the exclusion of working. Amen? And providing and living and making a way. And that's not going to fly. That's a new psychobabble thing that came out in the last 20 years or so. Work is good. How many remembers what my wife says? Work is your friend. Anyway, that's what she says. And that was way back in the summer. They were remembering pretty good, eh? So he's working. No doubt, she's planning on him coming home. She's planning on that, and she's made plans, and the plan just didn't work out. He's a little bit late. He does have to manage schedule. Number two, he had every intention, I believe, of being home on time. We have no reason, there's nothing negative said in this whole book. He's always positive to her, always, in this whole book. Always upbeat, always encouraging. So there's no idea that, well, I'm just going to do what I want to do. He didn't have that idea at all. Now, fella, that's the way it is. You don't care about your wife's schedule, her planning, what you're doing. You're nuts. And the fire's going to hit the fan if it ain't already hit the fan. Amen? But so, I think he had every intention of being on time. How many have had intentions of being on time, fellows especially, but your work kept you a little late? Can I see your hand? It happens sometimes, okay? And we can equally say we've done things that kept us late that didn't have anything to do with work. And he's smiling. I got it. Here we go. He did it. Here we go. Let's look. Here we go. The door of the bedroom is shut. And it is locked. That's what happens here. Next, he calls to his bride, my darling. That's what that sister thing means. My love, my perfect wife. So he's calling to her like that. They have a great relationship. We saw that last week, didn't we? And so he talks to her like that. He's not sucking up. This is the way he talks. This is the way he talks to his wife. Guys, we can learn something from this guy. Tell you what, Solomon is the man. I tell you that right now. I have learned that. Oh, he made all kinds of mistakes. I believe that most of the mistakes he made is because he lost this woman. She probably died. That is my view personally. And he went pursuing everything under the sun and all proved vanity. By the way, that's what we're preaching next week, the book of Ecclesiastes. His search that left him empty. But he talks to her like this. She was half asleep. That's what the text says. She was half asleep. Okay? She is like, you know, just waking up. Keep moving. Let's see what happens. You're going to keep going, see if there's a fight? Here we go. The testing of love. Keep moving it, Roger. Here we go, buddy. Song of Solomon 5:3. I put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Now, you might have a translation for each different. I use the old King James Version. I like it. But let's see what she's saying. Verse 3. First of all, she's acting selfish. She's acting selfish. Some people believe, if you watch television, I don't want to be ugly, but I'm going to say it. Sometimes on television, women can do no wrong. But men are made out to look like absolute idiots. And is that the truth or what? But we know reality. Reality is this. Both men and women both sin. Both men and women both struggle. Okay? I care less what television says. She's acting selfish. Well, she's having a liquor crying out loud. She's acting selfish. Let's check it out. I've already gone to bed. Well, I've been working all day like a dog. I mean, we could go back and around all over this thing, couldn't we? You know, it's not like he meant to be late. I'm late. Sure, I'm late. Doors locked, shut. I'm already in bed. Go away. Here we go. Next. I've got my PJs on. There's Mama Lisa McCurry. Look at it. Now, excuse me. If she looked like that, I'd just keep walking. That's awesome. Here we go. Anyway. Here we go. I've got my PJs on. That's what she's saying. I've already put off my coat. The fancy 90s in the drawer. Okay? I got my comfy PJs on. Here we go. I've already washed my feet. Oh, the sky is falling. Your feet's washed. I mean, I know this is a little ugly. I got to really watch it today. Here we go. That's what she's saying. She's being selfish. Keep moving. She's making excuses. Let me ask you this question. Does this sound like the same one we talked about last week? Yes or no?
No.
Doesn't sound like it at all. Aren't we like that, though, in our relationship? So, we can be the sweetest thing, the kindest thing, the most loving thing, and then a week passes and we meet as a snake. And that's going to cause problems. Love is going to get tested. Love's going to have some problems. How are we going to deal with it? Well, let's keep moving. Let's see what happens. Doesn't sound like the same way. You know, flat out what she did, she refuses him. That's what's being said here. I firmly believe that. She refuses him. You know? Wait, boom, door's locked, gone. Forget he's the king, okay? Don't even let that enter into it. It's her husband. And she refuses him. We can relate because we've been down these paths and we understand what it's like. And that's in the Bible. God put it here for a reason. He put this here for a reason in the scripture for us to look at. So let's look a little further. Let's keep digging. Okay? She's petty. This is me talking. And has become indifferent. Now I say that because I know me. I know me. I know people. I talk with people. I counsel people. People do become indifferent, don't they? Say, we do become petty, don't we? Some of the things that just set us off. And then we're just stubborn and ill as a hornet. And she's being petty right here. The honeymoon's over. Honeymoon's over. This sets in sometimes. Keep moving. It is happening. It does happen in our life. And that's something we have to keep working at. Let's keep moving. Let's see what we find in the following verses as we follow along. Chapter 5, verse 4. So what happens? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door. Not language we use today. My bowels were moved for him. There we go. Yeah. That is a term that's used in a lot of cultures. It's just basically, my heart aches, my stomach aches for him. Okay? That's what she's saying. And it's good. It made the point. It made us not forget it, didn't it? Huh? Here we go. What's happening here? Let's move. Let's look at some points real quick. She saw his hand by a hole in the door. Here he is coming in late. We've already laid the groundwork. And there's a hole in the door, probably a design hole there for a reason. Okay? And she sees through that hole in the door, and she can see his hand. And when, because he does something at the door with his hand. And whenever that happens, her heart just leaps in her. She wants to be with him. What happened? She wanted to be with him. Her heart beat, keep moving. But she waited. Can you say that with me? She waited. Let's keep moving. Quick. She didn't get up. Keep moving. She didn't let go. She didn't let go. Why? I think we know the answer. She's being stubborn. I'm picking on this lady, Dan. Look at the ladies. Are usually you ladies don't forget that perfume necklace jewelry message I gave you. All right. Come on now. She's being stubborn. And that's what happens. She sees his hand. She feels in her heart she wants to be with him. But she doesn't get up, does she?
Huh?
Why? I'm getting up. You shouldn't have been what? Not a single male voice said that. Here we go. Here we go. Come on. Come on. Her stubbornness trumped what she was feeling. And that's what happens. Honeymoon's over. We get indifferent to one another. And then this stubbornness can set in. And it can, and it's, we can do things. We can say things we don't even mean. Respond in ways we know we shouldn't. And that old stubbornness sets in. And it trumps even the feelings that we're having for one another. That's not a good thing. Let's keep moving. At least it happened for the moment. And that's usually all it takes, isn't it? So, how many have just been stubborn, or you said something in a moment like that, and you didn't respond, you know you felt like it, you did, but you were just stubborn, and it didn't last very long, but it lasted long enough to ruin it pretty bad, didn't it? Huh? Ruin the moment, cause a rift, cause problems in the relationship. Doesn't take very long. I'm one of the worst. I am. I'm horrible at this. I love what I do. I love working with people, but so often I go home and I can be short. I can say things because I'm tired, because I'm irritable, and because I'm very comfortable with joy. I'm very comfortable. I let my hair down. I can say anything, but it's not right. It's not right. And so many times I can just say something. I didn't even mean it, just because of a little stubbornness or something. And boy, I tell you what, it might take a couple of days to get it fixed. You know what I'm saying? So I see me all in this message here. That's all it takes is just a moment. Let's see what happens. Keep moving. We got to fly. The testing of love. Verse 5. So she rises up. She opens the door to my beloved. She goes out, she opens the door. And when she opens the door, her hands are dripping with myrrh and her fingers with a sweet-smelling myrrh or perfume because he had put it on the handles of the lock. You understand? That hole in the door somehow was a place where maybe perfume could be left or something like that, and he had done that. I said, Solomon's the man. You know? I mean, most of us, Gary... Well, fine then! You know what I'm saying? That's the way I've been. Here's Solomon. Well, we can learn from this guy. Are you hearing me say? Just because one person's stubborn doesn't give us a right, but we shouldn't be stubborn. The two become what? One what? Flesh. And you hurt your mate, your spouse, hurts one another, you ultimately are going to hurt. And that's what happens here. She got up and she went to that door. Keep moving it now. Solomon met that perfume in the handle in the lock. We saw that. She smells the fragrance on her hand. What do you think? What do you think she's thinking? Somebody tell me.
Where is it?
There we go. I opened to my beloved. But my beloved had withdrawn himself. He was gone. Amen? That's how we'd say it down south. My soul failed when he spake. My soul failed. He asked, but I didn't respond. I sought him, but I couldn't find him. I called for him, but he didn't give me an answer. I looked for him. I couldn't find him. What do we see? She responded, said with me, but it was
too late.
That's what we're seeing. The testing of love, the honeymoon, is over. Okay? And that is reality is setting in here in this relationship. When we're selfish, when we're stubborn, we become indifferent to the one that we love. When we're selfish and we're stubborn, we become indifferent to the one we love. There is no doubt in my mind that this woman loved him more than life itself. did to you. And he loved her that way. But because of selfishness and stubbornness, you know, became indifferent. And it hurts. When this happens, it hurts. And it has a bad effect, not a good one. When we act like this, and y'all with me today or say, I'm like, this is like no brainer. Why'd I come to church to hear this, huh? This is like basic 101 stuff. Well, then why do we keep doing it? Why did God put it in the Bible? I guess there's a problem. I guess, ding, 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 we need some elementary education here. I know I do. I need help. This is wrong. So he was hurt, she was hurt, it had a bad effect on the relationship. You know it had a bad effect because what did he do? He withdrew himself. What does that mean? He left. You think he left like, oh, she just loves me so much. You know? Or you think he probably left with a little bit of an attitude. A little bit of a broken spirit, maybe sad. You think he may have been working real hard. He tried to get done as quick as he could. He'd come for maybe even a pretty long journey. And he's looking so forward, maybe he had to put up with a lot of political mess and a lot of folks have to put up with it. He was just so sick of it. He finally got home to be with her. And what? Door slammed and locked. He withdrew himself. Yeah, it hurts. Hurt him. She called out to him, but he was gone. Okay? Didn't take very long, did it? It usually doesn't. Didn't take very long. Why did all this happen that we just read about? Why did it happen? Let's review real quick. Here we go. Number one, she took him for granted. I have never taken anybody more for granted than I have taken my wife for granted. There's nobody even close. So how many times I've taken her for granted? There's not even a close second. That's how many times I've done it. It's wrong. She did it. Put it up. She didn't consider his feelings, only her own. Right? Say it. She thought about, well, I've got PJs on, I got to wash my feet, got my feet washed. You know? Come on. Don't you understand? Okay? She didn't consider his. Her selfishness led to stubbornness, which led to sorrow. Sounds like a snake. It'll bite your marriage. If you're selfish, if you're stubborn, it's going to lead to sorrow. You're going to feel bad about it. And you're going to hurt somebody, hurt the other party. And many times I've hurt my wife because of selfishness and stubbornness, and I felt terrible about it. And she knows I felt terrible about it. But Rome can't be rebuilt, but they can, right? So, I mean, it takes a little while to get, you know, and it's terrible. It usually happens quickly. So that's what we've seen so far. Well, there are consequences in our relationship when we act this way. Let's see where we're at. Usually both parties take a beating. Now, do y'all want to quit or do y'all want to just keep looking? You'll see what happens? Come on. We got time. Come on. I love this church. I really do. I love preaching like this. Song of Solomon 5:7. The watchman that went about, so what's going to happen? I said when this happens in a marriage, they usually take a beating. Watch it. Here we go. The watchman that went about the city found me. They smote me. This is her talking. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. What in the world is this talking about? Guess what? She went looking for him. She went outside that door. She couldn't find him. She was like, where are you? And she started looking. She lost her mind a little bit. How many have ever had a little marital spat and lost your mind for a little bit? Can I see hands? Say, isn't it funny? We can have our act together and we can run businesses and kingdoms and all this kind of stuff. But when it comes to the marriage, boom, we can lose our mind. You know what I'm saying? It happens. Here she is. I'm sure she's feeling this way. She's coming to her senses. And she's like, oh my gosh. And she just goes out into the street. Where are you? Looking for him. Guess what happens? She was apprehended by the police. That's what this is saying. Bad girl, what's he going to do when they come for you? Let him have it. You know what I'm saying? She has been apprehended by the police. This is turning from bad to ugly, ain't it? Let's see what happens. Usually somebody takes a beat. She was actually beaten. And you might wonder why that is. Did you know what? The number one call that policemen do not like to go on, number one, is domestic violence. Why? Here's why. Here's a man beating a woman. She calls. Where'd y'all get beat? Okay? The police come. They get there. They apprehend the man. But because the woman in marriage is sort of crazy anyway, take care of her husband. She thinks they're picking on her husband. She comes after him with a butcher knife. I mean, they're like, this is not so. When your emotions get all into it, it makes a situation very unsafe. So I think probably, you know, who knows what she was saying. You know, but undoubtedly the passage says she was beating. I know it's a song, I know it's a poem, and I think the greater meaning is what we're seeing today. When we're this way with each other, we take a beating. Did you hear me? That's what happened. Let's look. They took the veil from her face. And I believe they said this. Uh-oh, it's the queen. That's what I think. Uh-oh, it's the queen. I know that's what I said. Oh, no, it's the queen. Problems. It's what she had. So let's see what happens. And it's just a little statement here. Even the king or queen's marriage takes a beating when the attitude of indifference sets in. Even the king or queen's marriage takes a beating when the attitude of indifference sets in. We just can't, we should not allow that in our marriage. The honeymoon's over. There's going to be testing, sure. But we should be indifferent toward one another. We should love one another. And when we've had done wrong, we admit that we're wrong. And don't keep just doing it. Well, I only said this. Yeah, if you only said that, that was enough, all right? You see what I mean? We need to work on that. I think this teaches us this. Song of Solomon 5:8. What happens? And we're just going to walk through it now. Here we go, Raj. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem. She's back at the palace. If you find my beloved, tell him I'm sick of love. Put it up, Raj. She's back at the palace. She's seeking help from the doors of Jerusalem. Here's what she says. Hey, if you happen to see, remember that song? The most beautiful girl in the world. Tell her I'm what? Sorry. Okay, Charlie Rich. Here we go. That's what I said. Tell her I'm sorry. Tell her I need my baby. You know, this is what she said to the daughters of Jerusalem back there at the palace. Then they say this to her. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? These are the daughters of Jerusalem, the virgins in the palace. And they're saying, O thou fairest among women, why is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? They're wanting for her to talk. Why is he so special to you? They just love that kind of chatter, I guess, you know. And stuff. Why is he so special to you? And so they're talking like that. What's up here? Okay? But that was the question that really got her thinking. And that was, they said, why is he so special to you? And all of a sudden, she starts now thinking of him and not herself. Could you say that with me? She now thinks of him and not... Come on, we're hurting here. One more time. She now thinks of him and not herself. You think that would change a lot of marriages right there or what? We ought to think... The proper thing for me to do, I honestly believe this, is for me to think more of her than I think of me. When I think more of her, we don't have any problems, do we? You like it that way, don't you, baby? No, I'm just kidding. Amen? It's a two-way street. But the point is that's how we, you know, it's amazing how that can fix things, isn't it? When we just stop thinking about ourselves so selfishly. So when they ask her that question, here's what happened. Look. She starts thinking about him. Look at him. My beloved is white and ruddy. He's the cheapest among 10,000. She's describing him. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the river of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. He has the most beautiful, perfect eyes. She's saying this. I'm not. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. Was she thinking that when he knocked on the door? Say, I washed my teeth. It's amazing. She's thinking about him now. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly is bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. This is her language. She's just using words describing that are just gigantic. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon. Just a beautiful sight. Excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. What a change in tune, huh? It's amazing when indifference, selfishness, being stubborn sets in, what can happen? Let's look at it. What did she say in verse 16? Just look at it. She said, he's kind and delightful. When I think of him, that's who I think of. Well, why would you open the door? Number two, he is so handsome and wonderful to me. Why do you let him in? Number three, he is my lover. And you sent him away? Number four, he is my best friend. Is that how you treat your best friend? So, indifferent. I know your attitude. This gets real personal with us because we all have had little stories. I know we have in our marriages. But we can learn from this. This is language from God. And God's trying to say, come on now, shoot for the high mark in your marriage, in your relationship. Let's keep looking. You know what I think she's saying? How can I be so selfish, so stubborn, and so stupid? You ever said that before? Anybody want to raise your hand with me? Okay. I am that way so often. I've said it so many times. How can I hurt this woman? I love her with all my heart. I'm an idiot. Gosh. You know what I'm saying? Terrible. Man, the testing of love. It happens. Well, let's see what happens and we're done with the message. Where is he going? The daughters ask. Where do you think he is? Let's look. 6:1. Where is your beloved going, O thou fairest among women? Where is your beloved? Turn aside that we may seek him with thee. We'll go help you look for him. And here's what happens. Stay with me now. Come on. The bride says, I know where he is. She came to her senses. Started thinking, right. I know where he is. Here's where he is. 6:2-3. My beloved is going down into his garden, to the bed of spices, to feed the gardens and to gather lilies. Solomon loved that. He loved the outdoors, loved that kind of thing. That's where he's at. She looked other places, wasn't thinking straight. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feeds among the lilies. So all of a sudden, she knows where he's at. And she goes to the garden, and she finds him. Now, what do you think when she gets to the garden? What do you think is going to happen when she gets to the garden? You think she might now get a tongue lashing for her behavior? That's how Clark would be. You did right now. He did it. Yeah. I told you Solomon's the man. He ain't the man because he acts like that. I'll tell you that right now. Do you think when she gets to the garden, she wants to love on her husband? You think that might be going through her mind? Yes or no? Oh, I think so. Let's see what happens. Verses 4-10. I want you to listen. Just listen. She comes to the garden and he speaks to her. Listen how he talks to her. See if this sounds like you, sir. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem. Word means lovely. Terrible as an army with banners. That language speaks of he was a warrior. She looked so beautiful to him. It looked like his army, his own army with the banners and holding up the symbols. It looked like that's what he saw when he saw her. It was beautiful to him. What a sight to behold. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. You know what I think that means? I think she looked at him with eyes that loved him so much. She looked at him with eyes that were so sorry, so sad. Did she have done that? She lived with him with eyes full of passion. They wanted to love on him right back. And he had to tell her, don't look at me that way. He said, don't look at me. Turn those eyes away just a little bit. Why did he say that? Because he wanted to tell her some things. He wanted to tell her some things, even though he was hurt. And this had caused a problem. He says, that's really not the main priority. You're the main problem. And he says this, your hair is a flock of goats. We've read this before. I know it sounds weird. Okay? But that beautiful goats on the side of a green mountain, you know, he says, you just look like that to me. You're so beautiful, my love, etc. Your teeth are as a flock of sheep. We said that last week. All right? They're just white. They're gorgeous. And there is not one barren among them. That means you got all of them. He says that again. You know what he's saying to her? He's saying this. What I said on my honeymoon, I still mean today. When I look at you, the only honeymoon's ever shown up. But when I see you today, I see that kind of love. And I love you. Same thing holds true. As a piece of pomegranate, your temples within thy locks, your complexion, your face. He says this, there are 60 queens and 40 concubines and virgins without number in this place. But watch it. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. You're the only one of your mother. You're the choice one that bare thee. The daughter saw you and blessed you. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praise you. That's what he's telling them. Verse 10. Who is she that looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners? We're done now. Watch it. Here we go. I'm hanging to it. I appreciate you listening today. Here we go. What did he do? He received her without rebuking her. How many times we have a rift in our relationship and we know we're right and they're wrong? What does that mean we get to do then? Beat up on them, right? Tell them off, right? You know what we do? That's the old sin nature. That's our flesh. He didn't do that. He was just glad to see her, right? I mean, this takes no. Next. He restores communication. He didn't wait for her to get into all this kind of stuff. A lot of times we will clam up. We will not say anything to our spouse when they've hurt us. We got to wait for them to say two words. I'm what?
Sorry.
Until you say it, I ain't saying nothing to you. Hey, can you tell? I've had practice. Anyway, listen. But guess what he does? He restores the communication. Good grief, guys. Ladies. We can do this. Well, you don't understand. I'm not going to do it until he does it. Two become one flesh. You're hurting yourself, hurting your relationship, hurting your family. Next, he reminds her of how much she means to him. Oh, man. You know the Bible talks about heaping coals of fire on somebody's head? This sort of sounds like that, but I think he didn't do it for that reason. Okay? I'm done with the message. Here's the end. This reminds me of how Jesus is to me. There's a verse that hangs on my wall in my office. It's this verse right here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. What's that mean? That means this, that Jesus Christ, like Solomon, stood at that door knocking and she was indifferent. She refused him. Listen, how many times have we done that to Jesus Christ? Have you done that before? You get out, you get broken fellowship, you get out of the will of God, and we get so stubborn. No, I'm not going back to church. I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. I just quit. You know? But Jesus just knocks, doesn't he? So, he wants to restore fellowship with you today. If you're here and you're not right with the Lord, if you don't have a relationship, why are you going to do that? Why don't you run after him? Why don't you pursue him? Why don't you open that door today? Let's look at what else I put up here on the screen. I've been selfish, Gary Clark. I've been stubborn. I've been stupid to my Lord. And I've had to say many times, I'm sorry. And I can tell you right now, he always took me back. Amen? He loves you today. Why keep living in broken fellowship? Get right with the Lord today. Finally, remember when Peter and the others had turned away from Jesus Christ? He came to him in John 21 and said this. Don't put it up. You can't stop it. What did Jesus say? Come and what? Die. Come and die. Even if you have offended him today, that's not to say you don't need to say you're sorry. It's not to say you don't need to confess that you're right with the Lord. But Jesus wants you today to welcome you with open arms.